Welcome to Christian Community Center of Los Angeles, or as we love to call it, 3CLA, the Church for Truth Seekers. I am Pastor Tom Washington, and it is a blessing to be given the opportunity to share the word of truth with you. Our prayer is that you take that truth and apply it to your life with power and authority. For more information about 3CLA and other teaching opportunities, please visit us at our website, 3CLA.org. We also encourage you to do as 2 Timothy 2:15 states, you must study to show yourself approved unto God, Yahweh, a workman needing not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Shalom. Is there a bulletin right there? Bring it to me, please. Thank you. I got to bring your attention to this. You know, we serve a God that has these names of his attributes. Yahweh Yireh is the God who provides, right? Yahweh Shalom, the God of peace. We have Yahweh Shavar Retuko. And who is that? Yahweh, the breaker of chains. Come on now. Whose chains have been broken? I love this. I love this. So don't ever forget that. Thank you, Sister McCulley, for finding that out for us. He breaks chains. Hallelujah. And this is why even what we're talking about in spiritual architecture and design for life, we want all the chains to be broken. We want the walls to be torn down if they're not right, and we want to build up the proper way. So let's go to Ephesians, the second chapter. I'm going to give you a brief summary of what we've talked about since the very beginning. We've been on this for... this is the ninth week, but I kind of want to bring everybody to the same area because this is so important that we grasp this concept. I'm thanking those that are here in the sanctuary for being here, also those that are tuning in online. I just want to make sure we acknowledge them because even if you're tuning online or if you're here in the sanctuary, the word has the same power. Shackles can still be broken. Healing can still take place. Hallelujah. So we went to Ephesians, the second chapter, and it says, first and foremost, we got to acknowledge who we are. So it says, for we are his workmanship, created in Mashiach Yeshua. So when you receive this new life, and you were baptized in his name and you were filled with his spirit, you became his workmanship, right? You became like brand new. And it says, and we were created for a purpose, for good works, right? And it says, which Yahweh hath ordained that we should what? Walk in them, right? So we discovered that when he recreated us, this is what happened in our lives. He created us unto good works, and he ordained that we should walk in what? The instructions. Say, we are to walk in his instructions. So many times we follow our own lead, right? We do what we want to do. But he told us to acknowledge him in some of our ways, and he would, okay. Acknowledge him in only the stuff that we want to him to do. Okay. Well, reason why I'm saying this is because that's how y'all live in it. You only acknowledge him when you feel like it. And then other times you feel like you're going to do it your way. He said, no. I've ordained, if you want to maintain, say, if you want to maintain the good works, say, if you want to maintain his workmanship, you have to walk in his ways. So those are his instructions, right? And so when it comes a time in our life when we realize that we've made mistakes and that there's some areas that we didn't get quite right, that we need to rebuild or build. Rebuild means it was built, but it wasn't built correctly. And build means there's some areas that we were supposed to build and they never did get built. So when we build or rebuild our lives in Him, we have to do this. And so tell your neighbor there's a lot of things at stake. So we had a list. If we don't get this building right, if we don't get our lives right, if we do not get the design and architecture of our lives right, if we don't get it right, we're going to have so many problems, so many issues. And that is what's facing the world today. There's so many voices out there. I'm going online. You scroll up and down your feed. Everybody got a word. Everybody got a philosophy. Everybody got something. And all the time, I don't see the word attached to it. I just see somebody's philosophies. Everybody, all of a sudden, is such a guru when it comes to wisdom. And remember, this is a friends list, so I know how these people are living. And I'm looking for fruit. So when I'm scrolling, it's like I hear it. I'm like, okay, no, scroll, keep on scrolling. Because you're not demonstrating no fruit, so what you gonna tell me about? Listen, the only advice you need to take is advice that comes from the word of Yahweh and His Holy Spirit. Otherwise, tell your neighbor, miss me with all the other stuff. Because there's too much at stake. Okay, so we found out what was at stake. What is at stake? And we had a list. It should be the next slide. And it says what? The kingdom is at stake. My life is at stake. My health is at stake if I don't get this foundation right, if I don't get this building right. My family is at stake. Ooh, y'all need to come to Wednesday night Bible study. We found a way. Hallelujah. We found a way to get the family right. We found a way. The church is at stake. Our futures are at stake. Our destiny and our purpose is at stake. Our knowledge foundation is at stake. Our mind and our way of thinking. Listen. Hasn't it been more struggle than anything to get your mind right? I mean, I will testify that there are so many things that happen in my life because my thinking is just off. I've just been, you know, the society is fallen. What does that mean? This world is fallen. School districts fallen. Some family structures fallen. You know, means it's not work, it's failed. And then we grow up with a fallen thinking pattern. And our mind needs to be renewed and readjusted. And guess what? When we came to Yahweh, He provided an opportunity for our mind to be renewed and all that thinking to be thrown away and to bring in the right thinking. But we have to allow that process to take place in us, right? So our thinking is at stake, our skills are at stake, our character and our integrity at stake, and guess what? Our finances are at stake. There's so many things that have gone wrong in our lives in this list, but I'm here today to tell you that every one of those things can be on point if you just follow Yahweh's instructions, if you just walk in His ways. I'm telling you, each one of them. So we found that out. So then we go to Acts. Why is this so important? Acts 17 chapter. And so we found out that in the Acts 17 chapter, He's like, listen, I need you all to get this right. This is Yahweh. He's like, through the years, I've given my people chances. I have given them tremendous chances. In the days of Noah, we found out that, you know, Yahweh was about to rebuild this thing. He was about to flood this earth out and start all over. Why? Because man kept on making the same mistakes. What? How many of you, don't raise your hand, have made the same mistakes over and over and over again? You find yourself back in the same situation. In 1987, you filed for bankruptcy. In 1997, you filed for bankruptcy. And in 2007, you filed again. It's too quiet in here. What does that mean? Just doing the same stuff, what? Over and over again. Tell your neighbor, it's time to break the cycles. Not cycle, cycles. Because we got all kinds of cycles going. And y'all was saying, I need you guys to get this right, because it says here, Acts the 17th chapter, and the times of this ignorance, y'all winked at. Meaning there was sins going on, there was stuff in our lives, and we didn't get it right, and we keep on doing it over again, and said, he just kind of winked at it, but now he commands men what? Everywhere, somebody say women. Women. To repent. You cannot build or rebuild or refresh until you admit that you've done some stuff wrong. Tell yourself, I must repent. If I haven't got it right, see, how is it? How are you going to rebuild something? And if you hadn't admitted that you did it wrong in the first place? So what's going to happen is you're going to keep on building what? The same mess. Over and over again. So he's like, repent. And we found out that there was a Greek word, metaneo, for repent. And it means what? It means to think differently. True wisdom is when you admit that you know nothing. True wisdom is when you admit that you don't know anything. So therefore, if I don't know anything, who do I depend on? Oh, it seems like some people's depending on themselves. I said, who do you depend on? Say it loud. You got to start saying this stuff, because you keep on depending on yourself, and you got to break the chains. Metaneo means, to repent means, I'm thinking differently now. I reconsider. I change my mind now. I'm changing my direction. I change for the better, and I amend the sins of the past. That's true. So then we found out in Nehemiah. So after we understood this process, we understand that we have to repent to rebuild. We understand, first of all, we understand that Yahweh created us for his good works, number one. Then we have to understand that when we rebuild, we got to admit that we've done it the wrong way ourselves, number two, right? And so then Nehemiah, and that means repent, and Nehemiah 2:17 says, then why do we need to build? And so we found out that the children of Israel, when they were Yahweh's protected people, they were his children, and he had provided a wall of protection. Hallelujah. Say a wall of protection. Don't you know when you get saved, there's a protection on you. He's encamped wall around you. And many times we break down that wall ourselves. We let the enemy in. We doing our own thing. And so the walls were burned. The walls around Jerusalem were burned. And I'm trying to help you, because we got to get this right. Who understands that there's so many things, crazy things going on in the world right now? We can't even look to our leaders. That's what I'm saying. We will look to the figureheads. We will look to, the mayors, or we will look to the governors and the senators. Hey, and we will look to the presidents. And we would at least get some kind of semblance and reassurance. But you know what? Nowadays, I'm only looking to Yahweh. He's the only one I'm looking to. I'm only looking to him. Because there's too many. Look to Yahweh. I'm looking to you, Pastor Tom. Aim higher. Aim higher. We got to look to him. And so it says, Nehemiah 12 chapter, so it says, then said I unto him, you see the distress that we are in. The gates are burned and everything, right? That's distressing. When our lives are not the way they're supposed to be and our protections are down, our walls are all messed up and torn down, we're in distress. Guess what happens when you're in distress? Anxiety. Does anybody know about anxiety? Does anybody know about not being able to go to sleep at night? Does anybody know about waking up every hour on the hour or every 1.5 hours? Anybody have some heart palpitations? You just get a little panic, a panic attack when you start thinking. Well, you know, when that anxiety, you know, you get so stressed out. If somebody asks you how you doing, oh man, I'm stressed out. These are believers. As a child of the Most High God, you ain't got no business stressing. You ain't got no business worrying. You ain't got no business having no heart palpitations and panic attacks. You ain't got no business popping pills for anxiety. You are filled with the Holy Ghost. That is the peacemaker. That is a comforter. Hallelujah. A true believer goes to sleep like a baby every night. And a true believer knows that if they have trouble sleeping, all you got to do is open up the word and start reading it. And the enemy will just waft you down to sleep. So our lives are in waste. Jerusalem's in waste and the gates are burned with fire. Come, let us build up the wall of Jerusalem. Even though things are burned down, we can build them up again. That we be no more a reproach, that we be no more disgraced. Why were they disgraced? Because they were children of the Most High God. It's not supposed to be. Wait, hold up. Any parents out here? Parents, your children represent you. You bet not send your kids look just in saying any old kind of thing and looking any old kind of way. If that's what your kids are doing, that's a what? It's a reflection on you. You dressed all nice and your kids got patches. What's going on? So you profess that you are a child of the Most High God. You got to take, he gives us everything that we need to take care of ourselves, and then we could still live in sloppy, shabby lives. So that we be no more a reproach. And then Nehemiah, the first chapter, the fourth chapter says 6. So we what? Built up the wall. So built we the wall. Rebuilt it together. And all the wall was joined together unto the half thereof, for the people had a mind to work. You have to have a made up mind that you want this brand new life, right? And so the next part was that we found out that the Hebrew word for foundation. So now we've torn down the stuff that needed to be torn down. We're ready to build back up again so that we got to, when we build again, we got to make sure that we have the right foundation, right? So we've torn down the walls. We're about to build the walls up again, but hold up. We got to make sure that everything is built on the right foundation. So we found out in the Hebrew that the word for foundation is yesod. Say yesod. And then the foundation. Say the foundation. See, I don't want to say the foundation because the has a connotation that there are a whole lot of other ones in. It's just one of the other ones. But the, that means one and only. There's a show called, I think, The Crown. Anybody heard that show? And it talks about Queen Elizabeth and all this. But so there was a scene where it was the queen's mother and the queen's grandmother. And all of them were called queens. But the reigning queen was the youngest one, right? And so someone said, hey, the queen is here to meet you. They said, which one? Well, the queen, and then mentioned Queen Elizabeth. They were like, which one? They're all named Elizabeth. The youngest one. Oh, you mean the queen? She was like, one day, you know, my mother was the queen, but now she is Queen so-and-so. I was once the queen, but now I'm Queen so-and-so. She was once a princess, but now she is called the queen. Why the? Because she's the only one. She's the only one reigning. So you serve the only true and living God. Come on. The. So therefore, his foundation is not any foundation. His foundation is the foundation. The only foundation that should be in place. And we found out that that foundation was Yeshua. Say, Yeshua is the. There's no other foundation, right, to build on. So then we went to Matthew, the 7th chapter, and you don't have to turn there, but it's Matthew 7, 24. So as you build your notes, this is what we've been talking about. So we looked and we found that there were other foundations. And Matthew 7, 24 through 29 told us that I could either build my foundation on sand or I could build it on the rock. And, you know, the sand will provide a foundation that we can build on, but when the storm comes and when the waves come, right? Tell your neighbor they're coming. They don't already came and left. But when the storm comes and the rains come and the winds come, the only house that will still be standing is the house that is on the rock, the sure foundation, Yeshua. So that's what Matthew told us, right? So we had to make sure that we did that. Then we found out that our materials had to be correct. So once we got the foundation, now we started building. So when we went to 1 Corinthians, the 3rd chapter, the 9th verse, I got to read this again. We looked at the Message version because it really kind of made it in plain English for you all that, you know, act like you don't understand some of this stuff. So let me break it down. Can I break it down? You know, maybe the these and the thous and all those things got in the way of you understanding what kind of materials you were supposed to use. Why are you saying that, Pastor Tom? Because some of y'all are using some materials you ain't got no business using. Why? 1 Corinthians 3rd chapter. To put it another way, you are Yahweh's house. Say, I'm his workmanship. I'm his workmanship. Say, I'm his house. I'm his house. Say, I'm his workmanship. I'm his workmanship. I'm his house. I'm his temple. I'm his temple. So using the gift that Yahweh gave me as a good architect, I design blueprints. Apollos is putting up the walls. Let each carpenter who comes on the job take care to build on the foundation. What foundation is that? The foundation. Remember, there is only one foundation. Say, the one already laid. Say, don't look any further. The foundation's already been laid. And who is that? Yeshua Mashiach. And so second verse, the next verse says what? Take particular care in picking out your. Now that we got the foundation right, the building materials, eventually there is going to be an inspector. There's going to be an inspection. use bad materials if you want to, but tell your neighbor there's going to be an inspection. Eventually, there's going to be an inspection. If you use cheap or inferior materials, you'll be found out. The inspection will be thorough. What does thorough mean? He's going through everything. He's going through the details. You'll be what? You won't get by with a thing. Who thinks they're getting by? Don't raise your hand. You know, so some people that have used inferior materials and they're getting their advice from the world, and you know, they're just doing what they want to do. They're going to prove that it doesn't take all this. I don't have to follow the word. I don't have to be in church to get instructions. I can do it my way. And I'm going to show y'all that I'm going to do it my way. And I'm going to show you how successful I can be if I do it my way. Okay. I know some people. Who knows some people like that? They do it their way. But it says you won't get by with the thing. If your work passes inspection, fine. If it doesn't, your part of the building will be torn out and started over. See, people think that they can get by. Guess what? I have found out that the enemy will throw you a couple of little bones to make you feel like you're all right. So you go to one of these people that think they're doing it their way, and you say, how you doing? I'm blessed. Anybody know anybody like that? Oh, I'm blessed. Well, the enemy will throw you a bone or two, but you best believe he's taking back 10. We got to start this building over. Your part of the building will be torn out and started over, but you won't be torn out. You'll survive, but just what? Wow. I don't know about you, but I don't like that barely part. I don't want to barely make it in. Come on. I want to live in all the power and the victory and the triumph and all right. Somebody say right now. Right now. I want to experience that right now. So then we found out that when we're building now, we got the foundation right. Hallelujah. We're using the right materials. Hallelujah. But then within that building, there are voids. And we found out that Yahweh doesn't like voids. Genesis first chapter says the earth was void and without form. And the darkness was on the face of the deep. And the spirit of Yahweh moved. See, he doesn't like voids. He doesn't like empty spaces. Yahweh is drawn to the emptiness and brokenness. Why is he drawn to it? Because he don't like that. He wants it to be built up and he wants it to be filled. Hallelujah. Somebody say, Yahweh wants it to be built up. And he wants it to be filled. So if we are his workmanship, if we are his house, and if we are his temple, he wants us to fill it up with him. Right? But we found out that many times we fill those voids with what? Our own stuff. Can I say something to you? Who's lived a life outside of Yahweh? All of y'all. And when you came to him, he tore the stuff down. He emptied the stuff out. And there were voids. What are some of these voids? Who needs relationship? Don't stop lying. Who needs relationship? We need That's a void that we need. We need relationship, right? We used to go to places. We used to have fun. That we thought was fun, right? We wanted to have connection. We thought that fun was turning up. We thought that the relationships that we needed were the people that, what? Maybe had something. We used to have thoughts. But Yahweh knows that you want relationship. Yahweh knows that you want to be fulfilled. Yahweh knows that you have these needs and voids. And guess what? He said, if you let me, I will satisfy every need. If you just serve me, I will satisfy every need. I will fill every void. I will bring the joy. I will bring the excitement. I'll bring the relationship. So you got to fill that void with Yahweh. And then we found out, hallelujah. Go to Yohanan in the 4th chapter, John 4, 11. He wants to say he wants to fill those places. So Yeshua had a conversation with a woman. And she thought that she already had the answers. She already, you know, was living this life her way. This woman was going to the well because she was thirsty. But she was going to the well not only for physical thirst, but for natural thirst. Natural thirst, but physical. Natural. Right? Woman said, how do you know that this woman was thirsty? Well, Yeshua had a conversation with her. She had three dudes she was messing around with. Why? She needed relationship. Somebody said she had what? Voids. Vacuum. The emptiness that needed to be filled. And so he said, yeah, you got these other dudes in there, and the one that you're living with now, he's not even your husband. So not only was she thirsty for water, she was living thirsty. Anybody know any thirsty livers? They're thirsty. They're thirsty for money. They're thirsty for relationship, sex, whatever. Just thirsty. There's a lot of thirsty people out there. And it's funny, Yahweh was using this term thirst. Come on, y'all. You just think you're finding some stuff out? You be seeing people, I see people's posts on Facebook and Instagram and stuff, and I'm like, that's a thirsty post. Because they're trying to fill voids, looking for attention. So Yahweh knew. He was like, this is a thirsty woman. She's even trying to push up on me. But Yeshua said, I'm a school her right now. So the woman said unto him, sir, he told her that he had a well, a water that she would never thirst again. But she says, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with. The well is deep. And I don't see that you got anything to draw this water out with. So how can you give me living water when you ain't even got nothing to draw it out with? 12th verse says, art thou greater? This is a woman. Than our father Yaakov? Oh, she start throwing out the little word that she thought she knew. Right? I mean, she just had a little word to get by. A little something, a little churchianity, a churchianese. She had a little churchianity that she's going to throw out there. How many people meet people like that? They think they're so spiritual and know everything. They got one scripture. And she's talking. Listen, if she was as astute as she thought she was, she would have recognized who she was talking to. Are thou greater than our father, Jacob, Yaakov? He gave us the well. And he even drank of this water himself. And his children drank it, and his cattle drank it. What was good enough for Yaakov was good enough for me. That's what she said, right? That's basically what she was saying. So who is you? That's what she was like, what, you know, who are you? She's talking to Yeshua. So the 13th verse, so it says, Yeshua answered and said unto her, listen here, girl. Whosoever drinketh of this water, you're going to get thirsty again. And you should know, because you've been out there drinking from all these other different kind of wells. And you still haven't found no fulfillment. You still haven't found no joy. You still haven't found no commitment. You still haven't found no stability. You still haven't found what it is you're looking for. So many people are out here thirsty and hollering and posting stuff. And I see so many just sad. It's just sad lives. Because they're looking for something to fill the void. And there's nothing that can fill the void but Yahweh. Nothing. You drink this water, you're going to thirst again. 14th verse, but. Say, but. Whosoever, thank you. He said, but. Whosoever drinketh of the water that I. Because remember, they got to be filled, y'all. Remember, there's going to be a thirst in the land, but there's only one that can satisfy. And he says, but whosoever drink of my water. This water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water. So he's like, ooh. Oh, thank you, Holy Ghost. So that water that you get from these other wells that are not the source, the spring well from the foundation of Yahweh, all that water, you can take it in, but it's going to evaporate. You take it in, but it's going to. It'll never satisfy. But he said, living water, get this. If you let me fill you with living water, it keeps regenerating itself. It keeps moving on the inside, and it just keeps springing. It'll never evaporate. It'll keep on flowing. It'll keep on moving. It'll keep on filling. My God. Why would you want any other kind of water? Once you've had the foundation, once you've had the everlasting life water, why? Let me ask these folks over here. Once you've had the everlasting water, why? Would you go anywhere else? Man. Would y'all go anywhere else? We give you another chance. Would you go anywhere else?
No!
No way.
15 first. Oh, God. We're going up. We're going to so many different places. 15 first says, I love this. The woman said unto him, sir. Oh, now I've got sir status. You was just disrespecting me a few minutes ago. Now, after you dropped the bump, sir, she said, give me this water. Why she asked? Because she realized that all the other water that she's had in the past cannot satisfy, cannot do the things that he said this water does. this one line here, though.
Oh, God.
I want this water. It's a cry. I want this water. Give it to me. That I thirst not. I know I've been thirsty. I know I've been looking. But if you just give me this water, if you just draw it out and fill me with it, I'm not going to thirst. She believed that if she got this water, y'all got to believe that when you get this water, you will never thirst again. Does anybody believe that this is the one and only water? This is it. This is it. This is it. Neither come hither to draw. She found out that that was the water. That water is supernatural. Water is spiritual. That water satisfies. And then he said, Yeshua said, I'm going, I'm leaving. But I'm sending the Comforter, I'm sending the Holy Ghost. And he will teach you all things. What is that living water? That's the Holy Spirit available to us. How do I know this? Because now he says he wants to fill those voids. We talked about having the right vision for your life last week. This week, I'm going to say, give you two more scriptures to build on this foundation. Go to Yehud, Jude, the 20th chapter, 20, the first chapter, the only chapter. There's only one chapter. Jude. Say that water, living water, is the Holy Spirit. Oh my God. If we really let the Holy Spirit do what he does in our life, every need is satisfied. Say, I gotta believe it. So I went here talking about building. But you, beloved, building up yourself. Who needs to build up themselves? Say this. My walk is spiritual. There are so many books on the market. There's so many books in the New York Times bestseller. How to be a better person. How to find your soulmate. How to find your purpose. 7 effective habits of a successful person. And people go find these books to solve every problem in their life. Ooh, Oprah wrote a book. If I read it, I'll be like Oprah. Ooh, this person wrote a book. If I read it, I'll be like them. Oh, yes, this motivational speaker. Throw a name out for me, somebody.
Tony Robbins.
Tony Roberts. If I just do what Tony Roberts did, you know what? I know somebody wrote a book. And if you really follow the instructions in his book, come on. If you follow those instructions in his book,
Not only will you be successful in this life, but you'll be successful in the life to come. So in this book, he tells me, you, brother, sister, you can build yourself up. How can I build myself up, God? How can I build myself up for you? You build yourself up on your most holy faith. Tell your neighbor, your most holy faith. See, guess what? My most holy faith is different than yours. Everybody in here has a different most holy faith. Why? Because we have a different journey. We have different challenges. We have different experiences that we have to believe Yahweh for ourselves. I gotta be successful for myself. I can't build you up on your most holy faith. I can try to help you with some stuff, but when it comes to your most holy faith, I'm working on my own. You gotta have something inside of you that helps you build up your most holy faith. That's the Holy Ghost. We all got the same Holy Ghost, but you gotta allow that same Holy Ghost to work out your life journey. Because there's some stuff I don't know. Say it. There's stuff I don't know, Yahweh. I don't know. I don't know it. I don't know the answer to it. I can try to wrap my head around it, but I can't, because it's bigger than me. He says, that's okay. I filled you with the Holy Ghost that keeps regenerating in you if you just allow it to, and then you can build yourself up on your most holy faith. How can I do it? By praying in the Holy Ghost. Because the Spirit that you have inside knows stuff that you have no idea about. And the times that I don't know, the times that I feel weak and I can't build up myself, if I just pray in the Holy Ghost, he'll start moving those waters, and those waters will start springing up, and I'll start getting stronger, and those things will go out in my behalf. What is that? Go to 1 Corinthians, the 14th chapter. Your journey is unique. You don't know what I know. You don't know like I know. Somebody felt that way and they had to write a song. Come on. It's true. You don't know like I know what he done for me. You don't know like I know what he worked in me. You don't know like I know what he delivered me from. You don't know like I know the fight. The fight, the battles. Oh my God. And there were battles that was about to take me out. There were battles that were about to kill me. There was a battle that was about to make me lose my mind. But Yahweh, you don't know. You was not there when I was about to lose my mind. But thank Yahweh, he filled me and he gave me the right mind. So I gotta build myself up in my most holy faith. Nobody can do that for me. Nobody can build me up in the Holy Ghost but him. You can talk to me, you can try to encourage me, but until I believe that Yahweh is the only source, and I build up my holy faith myself, comes from my faith. Stop looking for people to encourage you. Stop looking for somebody to build you up. You better get strong. Start allowing that Holy Ghost to move in you. This is your journey. Say, it's my life. It's my life. Nobody can live my life for me. Nobody can connect to the Holy Ghost for me. Building my, he said it. He said, building up yourselves. You know what? I love y'all. I love you. I want to help you, but I can't build up your most holy faith. You got to reach in on the inside. You got to let the waters move on the inside. You got to let the Holy Ghost move on the inside. Hallelujah. Father, Abba, we need you. Father, you've put a river of life in us, Father. You've filled the voids. You've satisfied the needs, Father, Abba. But that's not enough. We've got to move higher. You're calling us higher. You filled us so you can move us higher. You've spoken to our lives because you want to move us higher. Father, forgive us if we've not grabbed hold, if we haven't taken hold of what it is that you have in our lives, Father. But as of today, Father, we give it to you. We are going to let the Holy Ghost. We're going to let the Holy Ghost move. We're going to let the Holy Ghost speak. We're going to let the Holy Ghost do what the Holy Ghost does. We're going to build ourselves up in our most holy faith. We're going to look to you. So many times we've looked in other directions. We've looked to other people. But you want us to depend on you. Other whales fall short. Other water does not satisfy. But your Ruha Kodesh, your Holy Spirit, your very breath, it's inside of us. Forgive us if we haven't given ourselves wholly and completely over to you. The only way you can work is if we let you move in our lives. So right now, Father, there's too many things at stake. There's too many things going on in the world. In the mighty name of Yeshua, we release the power of the Holy Spirit in us right now. Father, move in every situation in our lives. Move in every thought process right now in our minds. Move to everything that we're associated with our jobs, with our school, Father. We're going to let you. We've done it ourselves too much. We're going to let you take control right now in the mighty name of Yeshua. We're going to let you build up these areas. We're going to let you speak to us, Father. We're going to obey you, not in some things, but in every way, in every way, in every way, in every way. We release every way to you. We release every way to you. We release every way to you right now, Father. Speak. Speak to us, Father. Move in us. Move in us right now. We hear you, Father. We hear you. Not sometimes anymore, but we want to give it to you every time. Because every time we've given up to you, every time we've let you move, you've moved mountains. We've seen you move. We've seen you move. We've seen you move. We've seen you move. We know you can do it. Not sometime, but every time. So in the mighty name of Yeshua HaMashiach, take every way of our life. Move in every way. Speak to us in every way. We give you glory for it. In Yeshua's mighty name we pray. Amen. And Amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Please be seated for just a moment. And please bow your head.